Welcome to the Barn Gastropub in Cork, Ireland, where I live. You can hear the music playing in the background. This is Paul O'Mahony having had a cup of tea and a quarter. The remaining cup of tea is tepid, and I'm wondering whether I'm going to have breakfast or whether I'm going to simply have an Americano. I wonder where the word Americano comes from and how it became so popular. I want to bring you up to date on some of the things that are happening in Ireland which are affecting Cork. And the good news is that the weather has turned milder. It was heading in one direction until overnight in Cork. It dropped, and this morning I did not have to scrape ice and frost off the window of my car. I didn't even have to pour water over the window. It meant leaving home was a lot easier, and clearly the roads are less dangerous. Now, this is Cork. It isn't necessarily the whole of the country, but I have looked at the temperature in Dublin, for example, the capital of Ireland, and it looks as if it's going to be heading downward over the next week. After a week, the weather forecast becomes very unreliable here in Ireland, because we're an island out in the Atlantic Ocean and we're warmed by the Gulf Stream and all that, which is why we have a temperate climate. That we're actually opposite Greenland, even though I know that Greenland is getting warmer. Anyway, here's where I come every about three mornings a week, and I find it very pleasant. But there are some huge problems which are affecting the people of Cork, because we're increasingly being made aware of them, and what happens on the island of Ireland concerns the people of Cork. But let me tell you that in 1956, which is probably before most of you were born, there was the Hungarian Revolution, or the Hungarian Uprising, and Soviet tanks and troops invaded Hungary and took over the country and replaced the government which had recently been elected and which had started to introduce reforms. This led to thousands of people becoming refugees from Hungary. And I think it's about 540 of them came to Ireland. And they were not dispersed or sent to different places around the country. They were all sent to an army barracks or an army Nissen huts outside Limerick, in fact in County Clare. But the city of Limerick has grown, expanded, and this place, which is called Knocknasheen, is back in use again, has been used, only this time asylum seekers have been put up in tents in increasingly cold weather on the outskirts of Limerick City. Now, it's so horrific that absolutely nobody in Ireland, I have to stress, thinks that that is a humane thing to do. I couldn't exaggerate the extent to which I'm angry about the fact that some state servant, some civil servant somewhere, given authority by a minister of government, has actually put asylum seekers into those conditions. Now, asylum seekers have it hard enough already in Ireland, because it takes an incredibly long time for their case to be made and decisions made, and they are left in a state of limbo about whether they are going to be deported for an inordinate length of time. But I'm not here to talk about the conditions of asylum seekers, which are often that they're provided with awful food, awful accommodation, and you know, a bare subsistence standard of living. But in Knocknasheen, and I don't know how long they've been there, this group were 80 people in, I think it's 14 tents. I want you to imagine what it would be like in your country if the temperature was getting down to 2 and 3 degrees below zero and you didn't have one of these super duper sleeping bags which insulate you from the cold, and you had to sleep in a tent. I think being left in a tent is bad enough for months and months. So there was a public outcry. I call it a public outcry. I think an awful lot of influencing seems to have been done in the last 4 days, 3 or 4 days, when it became public knowledge that this was going on. And I believe that by today, there won't be any of them. And yesterday, the minister, it's actually funnily enough, the minister for children and a few other things, who made the announcement that these tents would never be used again. Not sure I actually believe him, but I'll give him benefit of the doubt. So it does give the impression that tents will not be used in Ireland again to house asylum seekers. Now, you have to distinguish between asylum seekers and refugees from Ukraine, because there has been a huge effort, pretty successful effort, I think, so far, to provide decent accommodation for people from Ukraine. Well, I say decent, barely acceptable in some cases. But asylum seekers are treated in a less friendly, hospitable way, is my understanding. Anyway, the place is called Knocknasheen. By the way, if you're interested in what happened to the Hungarians back in 1957, I think it was, or 56, they went on a hunger strike in the conditions they were staying in order to demand that they go to Canada, because Ireland didn't have any jobs for them. Conditions in Ireland were pretty poor, and they eventually did all go to Canada, or nearly all of them went to Canada. I think one or two of them stayed in Limerick. In fact, I read an interview with a woman who did stay in Limerick and lived on in Ireland for, I don't know, I suppose I mean 70 more years. Oh, maybe less. I forget when the... If you Google Knocknasheen, Knocknasheen, I think that's how you spell it. So that's actually all I want to talk about. I wanted to share with you the story of what has happened in Ireland. It has been inhumane, and I think that the people responsible should be ashamed of themselves. Now, they're all saying, those responsible are all saying, look, we've had unprecedented demand, and it has been really difficult. But once a crisis was declared or realised, a whole lot of voluntary organisations in the Limerick area came together and did something about it. Anyway, there we are. I guess all that anybody could say is that these people are in Ireland because they're in danger of losing their life in the country that they come from. So a cynical person would say, well, look, they're still alive in Ireland. But imagine what the situation would have been like if 2 or 3 asylum seekers had died in the night a couple of nights ago of hypothermia. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it?